this issue yesterday, which has torn our listeners in two, and that is the height restriction for the army. It's now 5'2", and we had Shannon Victory, her story. She passed everything else. This is just to get the interview. Passed everything else, the interview process, all the other physical challenges she was given. And then they measured her again, said, hang on a minute, you are not, you're 100 centimetres. So no, 10 centimetres shorter than you should be. So hard luck, go home. Sean Finn, Sean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You say the army are right to have height restrictions.
I think so, yes. For certain duties anyway, you know, if you want to be an all-round soldier. But then on the other hand, if they're recruiting for office staff or something like that, it'd be quite different, you know.
And why do you need height restrictions?
Well, if you were, say, wading across water that was 5 foot deep or something, and you got to keep your kid dry above your head, like, you know, it'd be impossible for a person of a lower stature to do it.
Yeah, but if the river was even higher, well, then it'd be impossible for people 5'3" to do it, and that's the limit. Well, 5'2" is the limit.
Oh, well, you got to take it, like, you know, to maximum advantage, like, you know.
Okay, stay there for a sec, Sean. Jerry is on the line. Jerry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You say your son was turned down. Why?
The reason he was turned down, he went through the physical, right, in the gym, mm-hmm. and completed that successfully. But went out on the run, and he was 20 seconds late. Mm. So that, in other words, that's it. You must complete the journey within a specified time. But the thing that I found a bit difficult was that girls who apply get extra time in the run.
Oh, do
so
they?
So I thought all things should be equal.
And did you raise this, or did your son raise this issue?
Well, my son raised that he thought he had got within, say, the time because he had his little timer with him.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to obey by the rules. But the only thing that I thought was, you know, was wrong in this world of equality, that the ladies should have the same time as the men.
Yeah, we haven't got a response from the army if that's true, but given
it is true because I read the sheet, Joe.
So why are women given a longer time to do the run? Because yesterday we were told it's all about equality by the army. It's 5'2" for everybody.
No, well, women get the ladies get extra time on the run.
Let me bring Michael in. Michael, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe?
You're in the army for 25 years through the cadet school, the officer corps, so to speak. Were you aware that females got an easier time in the physical exam than men did?
I wasn't aware, Joe, but if you look at the athletics, females don't run as fast as men. Possibly that's where they're coming from.
Yeah, but we're told the issue about the height is to do with not being able to carry something.
I think if you go back to what the army said to you yesterday, they said that the reason for the height restriction is because the PLCE, which is the load carrying equipment, the personal load carrying mm-hmm. equipment kit, just doesn't fit somebody.
They never mentioned fit. They said it was too heavy. Carry was the word, not fit. Michael finish. Sorry, Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, but I know that the equipment that is carried on that.
Okay.
Is you're supposed to be able to bring 2 weeks supplies, which includes all of your ammunition, your digging implement, your everything to stay in the field for 2 weeks, and that's a fair heavy weight. Now, I heard people talking about people of 5 foot being very strong. Yes, they are strong in their weight division or whatever. If you go into boxing or into weightlifting. You will not be boxing against somebody who's if you're a lightweight, you won't be boxing against somebody who's a middleweight. And similarly with weightlifting, you will be lifting against people of your own height. But if you're out in a combat situation, the people that you're coming up against won't be graded to suit your height.
Yeah, but then why do women get an easier time in the run for the entrance exam to the army?
I don't know that, Joe. I wasn't aware of it, and I don't know that. But I was an officer in the army. I was about 5'6.5",
mm-hmm.
and I considered that to be the absolute bare minimum, and possibly even too small. When I was, there were two of us about that height in the cadet class. It ranged from 5'6" / 7" out to 6'7". And I can guarantee you that if I was in a situation where I had to fight somebody of 6'7", I wouldn't fancy my chances. And if I'm 5 foot, you have to be, in the army, you have to be physically imposing. And somebody of 5 foot just isn't physically imposing. I don't think it comes down to anything more than that. People are looking at civilian employment and comparing the military and what you're expected to do in the military to something that you'd be doing in a civilian situation.
Well, is a 5'2" woman physically imposing?
In a combat situation, probably not.
Well, that's what's allowed into the army then.
Well, that's the bare minimum, Joe. As I said to you, I was the bare minimum at 5'6" for an officer, for a cadet. And I think, in hindsight, that it's probably too low.
By the way, what's your take, Michael, after 25 years in the army and looking at leadership, you're in the cadet corps. Does height make a difference in terms of achievement and in leadership?
I think it is a factor. I think a physically imposing person probably has a better chance of leadership, other leadership areas, than a smaller person.
Napoleon, Sarkozy,
I know there are always exceptions.
Okay, let me bring Sharon in. 51551. Sharon's in Galway. Sharon, your husband tried to get into the Navy when he was 19. And he was an inch too short, and he had a very unique way of trying to expand, so to speak. Sharon.
Hi, Joe. How are you? Yeah, he did. He heard that if you hung off the door, it would stretch the cartilages between the vertebrae, and worked on it for weeks and weeks before the interview and whatnot. And unfortunately, he didn't get in. But it did actually spur him on to be quite... forthcoming in the health service in England.
Double trained. So hang on, he tried to get into the Irish Navy.
Uh-huh.
He was...
Uh-huh. And he fled to England then. His aunt and uncle were nursing in England.
Okay, no, but hang on. He was an inch too short for the Irish Navy.
Half an inch too short.
You say he hung off a door.
He hung off the door for a good few weeks. You know, like young men do. They do their exercises, I presume, and they walk.
So what do you do? You grip the top of the door and just hang?
Yeah, it's a really old wives' tale, an old-fashioned form of kind of curing back pain as well. They say that it can stretch the cartilage and whatnot between the vertebrae.
And when you were looking at him doing this, you must have thought he was unhinged.
I met him the year after, because I'm English, and he went to England and got into nursing, and that's where we met over there.
Okay.
But this negative experience just spurred him on to, equally better things.
Do you think he would have been a good sailor in the Irish Navy?
He certainly would.
But the Irish Navy's loss was the NHS's gain.
Was the NHS's gain, exactly. Okay. And he gets his pension. He's 16 September. He gets his pension from there. And as I say, he just flew through the ranks in the NHS. And he was a soccer ref, Class 2 soccer ref. Played soccer, Gaelic, squash, everything. And I wouldn't like to tackle him in a fight, because I can see the gentleman's point about imposing tall people in war, but my dad used to tell me, go for the chest and the stomach, which I presume smaller men do if they have.
And what do you think of the height restriction in the army now?
Well, as it did with Bill, you know, you lose a lot of young men and women with want good skills that could have a wonderful career and bring great skills to the forces here in Ireland.
Michael, who was in the army have confirmed that there is a different physical requirement for men and women. It's harder for men. The aerobic capacity requirements, distance, the max time allowed for men to run 2.4 kilometres is 11 minutes and 40 seconds. Okay. If you're outside that, you fail. Good luck. If you're a woman, you can do it within 13 minutes and 10 seconds.
Well, as I said to you earlier on, Joe, the times for the marathon or the half marathon or the 100 metres, men run faster.
Yeah, I know that. But you're the one who's saying when you're facing a combatant across the field.
Joe.
You know...
Joe.
Okay, who's that? Jerry?
Gary,
yeah.
Joe, we're not really talking about the marathon. We're talking about an entrance into the Hoyland Aran. Now, the situation is should they not do some type of interview first and then do the physical?
Okay, because you're the one who made the allegation, but it's now true. It's been confirmed.
Well, it is true.
For a man for implying even to get to the next step. It's not to get there.
No, I wouldn't harangue you unless it was true.
Okay, no, sorry, take that point. I never doubted you. I just wanted to...
No, I know you didn't doubt me, Joe. But the point is, here are applicants wanting to join the army. If they don't get over the physical, those who do get over the physical still mightn't be suitable.
I know that. But your point is, they're saying the physical is easier for a woman than it is for a man. And that's been confirmed. Okay. 51551. Thank you all. Michael O'Connor, you say there was a time when there was a Bantam Brigade in the armies of the world, and these were of less stature, so to speak, physically.
Yes, as far as I read recently that because of the need for drafts during the First World War, that they were willing to accept men of stature in and around 5 foot, and the word bantam was used, bantam battalions. And because of the necessity for draft and to get numbers up to the front line. Yes,
and I presume as well, being of a smaller height, a lower height, sorry, in the First World War in trenches would have been a help.
Possibly would have, because the conditions were so horrific and confined that, yes, they very possibly would have had great use for men of smaller build to get into confined spaces and also to creep up and to work in the trenches at the rear. I'm only learning about this, Joe, as part of my work as a teacher. I recently built a model of a First World War trench system and just to explore the whole detail of it and the horror of it and try to imagine what life must have been like for a few days in one of those trenches.
But it was a scale model, I presume.
It was a scale model. Yes, indeed it was. It was designed as a display for the Make a Book exhibition, which is linked to the Junior Certificate Schools Programme. So we researched World War One being the 100th anniversary, 1914, and the boys produced books on the First World War. And to display these books in the exhibition in the civic offices recently in March, we built a scale display of the trenches, yes.
And is there a developing interest here in the First World War, Michael?
Absolutely. Recently, an awful lot of work has been done. I think Miles has run a very interesting series of historical programmes on life in the First World War. Fascinating stuff. I don't think anyone realises, really, how horrific life was for the average 17 or 18 year old in those trenches, in terms of disease, lice, putrefaction of bodies being swallowed up in mud, basically, because they just did not have time or facilities to get them out, and then in terms of food, nutrition, how they were brought up the front line and then brought back for a bit of respite and some half decent cooked food, and to dry off and to try and do something about the dreadful trench foot that they suffered as a result of being immersed in mud most of the time.
And then I don't know whether you saw the Gay Burns programme on Monday night.
I did.
It was very powerful.
Absolutely.
Very evocative. But he made the point that when they came back, when his own father, Eddie, came back from the First World War, and a lot of his brothers were there as well, one of them was killed, it was something that you didn't really talk about in Ireland at the time.
Well, no. I mean, apart from the fact of not wanting to talk about or relive some of the things you may have witnessed or have had to do, I think also taking the King's Shilling, I think that's what they used to call it, was probably not a very popular thing back then, because when these men came back, having fought for, if you like, the old enemy, and then they had to go and face their own peers, if you like, in their own country, I think that was considered not a great thing, considering the divide in the country at the time.
As developed
brother,
later.
His brother on that. Yeah. Pardon?
And the divide got greater. I think Katrina Crowe made the point very succinctly that the divide actually morphed into a much bigger divide as the years went by. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Thanks indeed. That's Michael O'Connor and the Bantams.
Joe, Joe, you probably don't remember me, but you did open an exhibition in Kilmainham Jail for me years ago as part of the prison art.
Yeah, I do indeed.
You do indeed.
Yeah,
okay, well, Yeah, I was involved in that.
Okay, it was a great exhibition, and Kilmainham Jail is a great, great spot to finish, to visit, absolutely, by the way, and will be open this Easter historic weekend.